All right. Good morning, Rob Burks, Naval Postgraduate School. I was asked to come and talk to you about some of the lessons I have learned in wargaming education. And this is educating individuals to become better wargamers. So that being said, quick show of hands. How many individuals in the room are hobby gamers? Fantastic. How many individuals in the room are wargamers? Fantastic. So then why am I here? One of the trends I've seen, I've been coming to Connections now for a decade. Forever. The number of hands that are going up are more and more. I've run several wargaming courses for different organizations and NATO, and what I'm finding is the more and more hands are going up, which is fantastic. So we're doing something right in terms of getting the knowledge out there. Can we do better? Yes, you can. All right. So today will be a bit of a discussion on how we can do it. It's the colonel and me and the lecturer. I will turn it over to you and ask questions as we go through. And feel free to interrupt me. It upsets Tom because he starts worrying about showing cards to me. All right. Here's who I am. I have been in the business for quite a few years. I have not changed very much since I started over 40 years ago. But one of the things, in my current job at the Naval Postgraduate School, I have the advantage of teaching wargaming both there, at the NATO Schoolhouse in Garmisch, and through NATO organizations for the last decade or so. I've also had the advantage of designing and executing multiple wargaming courses. But before we get going, got a quick question for you. I walk in the room and I do something, and I'm finished. How do I know it was a wargame? Go. No wrong answers.
Did you fight someone else?
Did I fight someone else?
Learning has taken place.
What's that?
Learning has taken place.
Learning has taken place.
Did you make decisions and live with the consequences?
Fantastic. You did very well. It takes my students about 6 weeks before they recognize the answer. They're probably on the slide somewhere. I try not to get into a single definition of a war game because they're different across all the countries I work with, different across all the organizations. But I look for three common characteristics. People making decisions in some type of competition or conflict. Does it have to be kinetic in nature?
No.
No, it does not need to be kinetic in nature. Can it be the staff within an organization fighting amongst itself for resources?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And then the last big thing is living with the consequences of those. If I have those three characteristics, I will call it a war game. Can I call it something else?
Yes. Yep.
All those other things listed on the board, are those all war games?
Can be.
Can be if they have what?
People making decisions.
Consequences.
Consequences,
some type of competition, conflict. So I do not get caught up in the definition. So as I go through here for about the next 15 minutes and talk about some of the lessons I've learned in trying to develop better wargamers, instead of focusing on a single definition or the title of it, and you'll notice as I go through my talk, I'll switch back and forth between war games and calling it just games. So back to, is a hobby game a war game? Can be, if you're doing what? Just going to keep throwing it out there for you. All right, so as I start developing any course or helping any organization, this is where I usually start with, is just coming to a common understanding of what is it we're talking about from a gaming perspective or a war game. The next piece is, what am I doing? I heard learning. I look at three purposes. The fourth one's entertainment. Military, we try to avoid the entertainment. Three purposes. I know my English colleagues like to lump education and experiential together as one of the purposes. But it's important to know, what am I trying to get from the war game? So from an education point of view, which is what I focus on in one of my lines of effort, what am I trying to achieve?
Learning has taken place.
Learning has taken place.
Key learning points have been achieved.
Fantastic. And by the way, that sounds easy, but if you're going to design a war game that has an education purpose, what must you know and understand before you ever start the design process?
Key learning points.
learning outcomes?
You have to understand the key learning outcomes. And what I find a lot of times is individuals will go pull something off the shelf and hope it's going to achieve what they want. What's the problem with pulling something off the shelf and hoping it's going to achieve what you want?
That thing pulling off the shelf, most likely a commercial war game, was not designed with those specific learning outcomes.
100%. One of the things I've discovered in doing this now for over 40 years is most games are designed for its own purpose or objectives. The chances that it will line up perfectly with yours, pretty remote. All right, so nothing wrong with pulling it off the shelf, but recognize it probably will not match exactly. But you need to understand those learning objectives. I personally do not focus on the training one, but that's back to understanding the training objectives. The other side where I do spend the majority of my time is on analytic war games. And what's the goal of an analytic war game?
Whatever the sponsor wants.
Whatever the sponsor wants. I've been around a little while. What's one of the most difficult things to try to get from a sponsor? What they actually want. Can I start designing a war game before I understand what the sponsor wants?
No.
No.
Well, you can, but
you can. Do we? Do we design the war game before we understand what the sponsor wants?
Yes.
Yes. All the time. All the time. And we'll talk. In fact, one of the things that we stress when we're running one of our war game courses is you must get good at understanding and talking to the sponsor. If you cannot understand what they want, then the chances of you designing a game to achieve those objectives is pretty small. So two purposes, and as we talk to the courses here today, that's what our focus has been on, these two purposes. All right, I'd like to borrow Martin Downs' Three Witches, because it's easy for me to hold up three fingers in terms of the things you need to think about. So as you're trying to put together your own wargaming program or educating wargamers, there's three things I want you to think about. One is the objective of the course. Can I have a course that is supporting multiple masters? Maybe, but probably not, right? So your challenge would be, what am I trying to get out of this course? Who is the audience for this course? And at the end of the course, what am I expecting? So back to the learning objectives. The next thing is the student. Who are the students? I loved when you raised your hands, all of you are hobby gamers. I focus on the military side. How many gamers are there on the military side? It's getting better, but for some reason, we don't like to play a lot of hobby games. I have run many, many courses where the only hobby game you might have played is Monopoly. I can't even get it on the U.S. side to play Settlers of Catan. How many of you play Settlers of Catan? Settlers of Catan is a fantastic game. But understand the student backgrounds. Who are they coming in? And I will tell you, in the professional military education, we tend to focus more on their military background versus their gaming background. That's where I'll get to a slide on that in a moment. And the last thing is maximize time. I have learned that the only way to get good at gaming is to do what?
Game.
You must game. How many of you are going to go home tonight and play a game? Everybody should raise your hand. There's a gaming session this afternoon. So one of the things you'll see that we stress when we design and put a course out there is more gaming time. At the end of the day, there's really only so many methods, models, and tools, think game mechanics, that are in existence. They just get skinned differently. They're just put together in different combinations. The more of those you see, know, and experience, when it comes time to design your own game, the easier it is. So maximize time. Now, talking to my war college buddy, if I want to bring something into a curriculum, what must go out?
Something else.
There's never enough time. So your challenge would be finding that balance between letting players game, or students game, and the education you need to impart from them. And that's a tricky balance.
I mean, one of the things I've found for people wondering about that is that you really have to rewrite the entire curriculum.
Yes.
You want to include wargaming where there hasn't been any before, because in the previous curriculum, presumably, everything in there was put in there for a reason.
Yes.
And you can't just take something out.
100%. 100% agree. So you can see the list of courses that I've looked at. One of the things which goes back to this time is understanding who the audience is. Is there a difference between a practitioner and a planner and a designer? Could be. Should I be all of it?
practitioner, planner, and designer. It's a big jump. It may be important that I have an understanding of all those roles, but it is a big jump to be all of those. So your challenge is to understand what they are. We've designed two courses for NATO. One is the practitioner planner, which is an existence at the NATO Schoolhouse, and the second one, which is the 10-week course, is the designer course, focused specifically on NATO winning designers. Your challenge is to understand, how much time do I have? Both in terms of the length of your schedule and, the most important thing, contact hours. So when you see the schedule up here, you can see the length of the program, and what's in parentheses is my actual contact hours with the students. Now, when we run the NATO course as an example, the only way to get good at gaming is to do what?
Game.
So at the end of the day, we run a, much like you can see here, games fair. So we expect them at the end of the course to come back, their captured audience, they got no place else to go, to the hotel and play games. All right? Right, this is a student experience, what we talked about a moment ago. This is my experience. I'm lucky to be a FA-49 for the U.S. Army, Operations Research Analyst, a war gamer, but by luck. There is no actual, in the U.S., program that trains you on how to be a war gamer. It's just a luck of my experiences and the jobs I ran into. When we talk professional military education, or when I look at who's coming to a course, this is where you go. What does this tell you about my ability to do any war gaming? Not much. I can track my military career. I understand all of the doctrine from a military career. But if I get into, unless I get into some of the details, I'm not sure what the wargaming experience is. So your challenge, as I'm trying to build better wargamers, is to understand what did they experience. Luckily now, frankly, since Settlers of Catan, we're starting to see more and more youngins, everyone's youngin to me, doing more and more gaming. But this is an example of my history. You start with those gateway drugs. How many of you have seen some of these? How many of you have played Squad Leader? What do you think about Squad Leader?
It's complicated.
Squad Leader? Fine.
Yes.
Advanced Squad Leader runs screen.
But the advantage of, if you have this understanding of your students, what are they bringing in, then as you're designing the course, rewriting the curriculum, you know where you can start. Tom runs that fantastic Wargaming 101. If you've never seen a war game before, it's a great kickstart. But I don't need to start at that level if this is the experience I'm bringing in. And if this is the experience most of my students are bringing in, I can start at a more advanced level. So your challenge is to understand who they are and what experience are they bringing. Now, the course design. This is where, as course designers, we want to be, right? I'd like to start you off with this. This is for the real geeks in the room. How many of you have played Campaign for North Africa? How many of you have sat down at the table for this thing? If you thought Advanced Squad Leader was complicated, this is beyond complication. I think there's only four people in the history of who've ever played the game, and maybe that's because they lied.
There's a full group in Seattle right now playing this and documenting it.
This is where you want to be.
No, it isn't.
Do I want to start here? No. You've got to start small. You've got to ease them in. So this is our program. Doesn't matter which curriculum I put together, it follows these same basic building blocks as you go through it. I will run you through the entire wargaming process, from the beginning where I'm talking to a sponsor to the end where there will be a game on the table. So one of the things I have learned, if I'm going to bring students into this environment to be better war gamers, we will start with them talking to a sponsor, whether it's educational or analytical. Why is it important that these talk to a sponsor? That's right. And bringing in a real sponsor for the students to talk through, the Friday they will have the game on the table that they are playing for that sponsor. We've been doing this for a decade, and we've yet to miss that. Nobody believes it's going to happen. But there is a real game on the table Friday. It's that sense of, if you will, pressure and stress on the students that gets them to perform. We also like small groups. Why small groups?
Easy to communicate.
100%. Yeah, wargaming, what we have found is we do better if I bring small groups together even in real life, trying to plan and execute a war game, all right? And then the last thing is experience building. You need to play games. And the playing the game is important. We usually try to squeeze in between 2 and 6 games, looking at different methods, models, and tools, game mechanics, usually focused on what we think the sponsor game is going so that they get some experiences with those. So one of the things Graham asked me to go, well, what war games do I use in my course? It depends, like everything in life, on the level of the students, the objective, what the sponsor is looking for. What I have found is if I can get a feel for what direction the sponsor's game going to go, because we're going to build a game for the sponsor, if I can introduce the students to mechanics that are related to what I think the sponsor's game is going to look like, it gives them a leg up. So these are several games. Do I use commercial games? Sure. But I will usually rewrite the commercial games to fit my purpose. We use Coup. How many of you have played Coup? Coup is a fantastic icebreaker game. They've used that a lot in NATO. It brings folks from different countries together and allows them to quickly, as the wargaming team, get on the same sheet of music. How many have seen Phil Sabin's Schlieffen? Fantastic little game, plays quickly. It's a blind game, right? It shows that mechanics to them. So I will run through, and I'm happy to share any of these with you. All you gotta do is send a note to me and ask for them. in terms of the games I use, but they're dependent upon the students, their background, and the objective for the sponsor's game. All right, in closing, start small. Lots of gaming. What's the hard part about doing lots of gaming?
Finding the time.
Finding the time. How many of you have time to play games at your job every day? Fantastic, see? That's one looking around the room. That's the one beautiful thing about my job. I get to play lots and lots of games. So what's critical is less lectures in the game, more hands-on, more reflecting. What I find from a building and designing a war game is I can give you the stack of books of all how to design a war game until you've sat down at the table and you're being forced to design and iterate off your own game, knowing I got to have a game on the table Friday that I'm playing for the sponsor. That process is what will actually get you feeling pretty good about understanding the knowledge of the war game. Is it? See, now I got to stall and dance with Tom. and everyone needs to war game. One of the things I found with students is some students aren't like you. They're not all uber geeks. And the thought of a war game may scare them. And one of the reasons we like small groups, it's harder to hide in a small group, right? Because the only way to get good at gaming is to do what?
Game.
And I have watched a lot of students who, when we play a game, who, can I just watch the game instead of playing? No, you got to play. That's the only way to do it. All right, questions? I'm happy to share any of the syllabuses with you. Just send me a note. I'll give you what the syllabus is, and happy to share any of the games.
Cool.